It's time to turn your daydream into your dream job. Wix gives you the power to turn your passion into a moneymaker with a website that fits your unique vision and drives you towards your goals. Let your ideas flow with AI tools that guide you, but give you full control and flexibility. Manage your business from one dashboard and keep it growing with built-in marketing features. Get everything you need to turn your part-time passion into a full-time business. Go to Wix.com.
An upper corner shot just deflected by the goalie. It's a corner kick. Wow! Incredible!
A beautiful shot!
No, that fan earned 2% cash rewards buying Pulisic merch.
They're using the Active Cash Visa credit card from Wells Fargo, which scores unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases.
Scoring 2% more. Wonder what that's like.
Oh, it's like, go!
Score off the field with the Active Cash Visa credit card from Wells Fargo. Terms apply. Visit wellsfargo.com/activecash. Visa, worldwide partner of FIFA World Cup 26.
Impressive.
Off the ball, rugby.
This is a big opportunity now for him to silence a lot of critics going into the summer with a bit of a bounce in his step, going to the Irish tour with some confidence built up and, you know, really grab that jersey.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the ball, breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
WhatsApp us 087-9180-180. Now there's Dr. Dre and there's Dr. OD. Two world-class producers with doctorates of varying legitimacy. And we've got one of them in the house. Forget about Dre.
Oh my God.
It's Arthur.
How long did you spend on that?
Welcome.
How long did you spend on that?
Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
You what?
Yeah, flying.
Thrilled after last night?
I expected no better.
And we'll bring it back to sport now with the introductions. The good in the sport, in the game, they win it once, but the greats do two in a row. And on that note, I'd like to reintroduce Adrian, the big dog, Barry. Adrian, woof woof.
I felt that intro worked yesterday. When you've reheated it, it just left me a bit cold.
Wow. I was complimenting that you've become a great after being a good. You've done it two in a row. You're back.
John Philip Botha.
You'll have to say more.
That's his real name.
Oh, Backy's Botha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John Philip Botha. You never would have got that, to be fair, would you?
To give the inside baseball there to the crowd watching. It was we were talking about Victor Matfield, needless to say, beforehand about what we're going to talk about, and then his best buddy's Backy's Botha came up. And I just can't stop saying it the last 5 minutes.
You're obsessed with Backy's.
Great name, great name. So, Luxembourg nil, the Republic of Ireland nil. In many ways, Adrian, we haven't talked about Westmeath football at all this week. Maybe we should do that instead. Sorry, how about Sam McCartan scoring 2-2 pointers there at the weekend, last weekend against Leash. Matthew Whitaker got a good goal. Mm. Luke Lachlan, well-struck penalty, cleared off the line. Rodan Mullis got a 2-pointer. They play Wicklow quarter past one this coming Sunday.
I'm here for
Westmeath football.
You want to do half
Should
an
we
hour
lead
on
with
it?
That?
If you want to do half an hour on it, I'm here for it. At least scored a goal and 2 points coming down the stretch, so it could have an even bigger margin.
You know, and we buried it really since Monday morning, but thankfully now we have time for it.
The first comment on the YouTube, Gerard O'Connell, good morning to you. Abysmal RT coverage of the match last night. All the money spent on against the head international football should be taken off them, he says. Now listen, the general run of things, if this was a big World Cup qualifier and there was a lot to talk about and we had eked out a win, or just, you know, narrowly beaten or whatever, I suppose there'd be a lot to talk about. But are people a bit more exercised about the fact that there was no wraparound coverage of the match last night?
There was a big pang of Eurosport off it, really. You know, it was just replays at half time with the two lads talking over it.
Can't remember that ever happening before. And from the little sample size of people that I threw out to last night who would know these things, they were in agreement that.
Well, the boys on TV did remarkably well to get through the halftime analysis because so little happened in that first half. I was marking in my notes, though, that the first thing that actually happened was Robbie Brady going off injured just before the 20th minute. The first shot was 29th minute. And that was by Luxembourg. And in fairness, Nathan Collins hits the post at the end of the first half. But afterwards, Hamer Hargrimsson, on his birthday, 58 he turned yesterday, did not hold back.
He's looking well.
Called it sloppy. And the performance boring, particularly in the first half.
Insipid, Aidan Fitzmaurice called it in the Irish Independent this morning, and it was.
And here's the question for you. What does it matter?
As in,
for the future. So we're 3 months away from our next game.
And we're going back to football.
What are we talking about again? We're still on Westmeath there. It doesn't matter a whole pile, really, does it? And like June friendlies in general don't matter a whole pile, really. It's kind of the whole reason that the Nations League was invented, so that we wouldn't have to sit through kind of nonsense like this. But so be it. That's where we're at. We might entertain ourselves with a Senegal chat later on. But it doesn't matter a whole pile. Like, obviously, the vast majority of these players are going to get asked about this game in 10, 15 years' time, post-retirement. They'll be doing a panel somewhere or other. It'll come up about, do you remember that night in Luxembourg? And they'll draw blanks because they won't have a bull's notion of what they're talking about. Apart from Max O'Leary, obviously.
Who's asking that question?
Well, you know what I mean. It might come up by way of, I'm not saying it comes up as a, oh, we must talk about Luxembourg. But if it comes up, they won't remember it, is what I'm really my point. Apart from Max O'Leary, Cillian Phillips, you know, outside of that, this is a largely forgettable thing. And probably a one and done for Max O'Leary, you would imagine, unless there's some sort of...
He's probably unlucky, yeah. He probably won't have a chance.
Actually, no. Like, Ronnie was tasked with picking a player to match, and he really struggled, like, outwardly. He was like, how long do I have for this? And then he just settled on, like, oh, just pick Jason Knight because he always plays. Yeah. He did nothing. Yeah. So I was like, I'll just give it to Max O'Leary. He kept a clean sheet. Like, that's Hamer Hagamson's first clean sheet, funnily enough. Mm. So, you know, that was some sort of an achievement.
But and I was thinking... a save to make.
Yeah, he did in the first half. That one he tipped around the post. And he had to be alerted as near post in the second half too, when they were coming down the right-hand side a fair bit. Like, they were getting a bit of joy, actually, in fairness. Like, they nearly scored twice in injury time.
Yeah.
Their substitute, Tittle, their number 11, pulled in, and he did it, Arjen Robben, but shafted it. And then Matt Doherty, if it wasn't for his recovery tackle...
Oh, great tackle.
They could have scored there. And then he passes it out to John Patrick. And a beautiful touch.
What's the story with John Patrick? Are we just... Is that...
He wants to go by John Patrick.
We're...
John Joe Patrick Finn, to give him his first full name. And Bueno, I think, is actually also included in that name. Right. But John Patrick, he goes by. So give people the story in that. He's born in Madrid, came through the ranks at Getafe, now plays for Rennes in France. They got relegated. He made his debut against Paris Saint-Germain. He was a regular there in Ligue 1. And he's, one side of the time he's Cameroonian, and the other side is Irish. I'm sure that's where the Ballyhannes thing comes in.
Right.
Yeah. But he looked neat and tidy when he came on. There was a technical element to his game, which is something that we're like severely lacking in central midfield still, you know. It was a decent enough display defensively, and I say that and people would think, well, it's only Luxembourg. It's like there are 31 places between these two sides in the official FIFA world rankings, and you wouldn't know it watching it last night because it was fairly tit for tat. Like, the theme of the second half was the odd time that Ireland did have a shot, Luxembourg went right down the other end and attacked as well. So Ireland were, you know, relatively stable at the back. Up front was totally anonymous. Like, not good night at all for Evan Ferguson and Troy Parrott. I thought Cillian Phillips at our right centre mid. Then after half an hour, he switched it with Smallbone, who was getting no joy at all on the left. So then by process of elimination in terms of an attacking element, Casey McAteer, he was all right. And then when Fessy Abasele came on, he was a bit better. Mentioned John Patrick.
Bit of electricity about him, hasn't he?
Yeah, there was
a bit
something
of the Emily
there.
Murphy's like the...
And then, of course... Jack Taylor hammers the crossbar and it's still shaking. So, like, you know, they hit the woodwork twice. Troy Parrott had the ball in the net. That was a good play by Evan Ferguson to put him through.
So there's when he was asked about that chance afterwards, he says, oh, I just hit the ball as hard as I possibly could.
Yeah.
You often think, like, it's more about technique.
I know. I would think, I thought at that level of the game, that was very five-a-side Astro, but Taylor admitted it to Nathan, just hit it as hard as he could, and it's the next time it will go in. So I like the confidence there. But I do have, I see it from the player's perspective. It was like, it's the last game of a grueling season. They've been playing basically 11 months non-stop, a lot of these lads. Look at Nathan Collins and Jason Knight, who are pretty much, I think, possibly even actually ever present for Brentford and Bristol City respectively in the last year. But at the same time, it's like the last thing of anything you do. You want it to be good. Like, you want to have a good memory going into the summer. And I have no doubt that, like, despite the players not wanting to be there last night, they still wanted to get a result. They still wanted to play well, to go off in their jollies in a better mood. But they'll be left very frustrated about what happened.
Yeah. Just don't think... I think if you're a footballer at that level, outside of the couple of players, obviously, who made their first starts, and outside of those trying to make a bit of an impression, like, by and large, you just want to get through the game, get the hell out of there. Everybody understands. Like, nobody's reflecting. You mentioned about, like, the... Let's say, what did you call it? I don't want to put in words in your mouth, but, like, poor performances from our forwards.
No, that's what I said. I think that's what it was. You know, yeah, I think but Ferguson, like, looked a bit lost, particularly.
The point being that Evan Ferguson has played almost no football. There's no conclusion to be drawn out of any of that.
No, there's
It'll impact not a jot when Hamer comes down to pick his team in September. It won't.
No, that's
he'll not be going,
That goes back to my original question. Sure, what does this all mean? They're not playing for another 3 months.
Yeah.
But for Ferguson himself, like, we can talk about him, is like, it's a huge summer for him because it could go either way now. And that's not being dramatic. Like, he could slip down. But I'd say he desperately wanted to play well and score a couple of goals last night. And I know that managers around the world aren't going to be like, oh, he scored twice against Luxembourg, fair play. But like, it does add to something. They're not. But at the same time, also probably noted that he didn't play very well against the 91st team in the world.
Like,
he played well when he came on against Senegal on Friday night.
My view would be that there's just no conclusion to be drawn from any of that. Like, Killian Phillips has put his hand up as a, you know, Casey McAteer has put his hand up as an option. Yeah. You know,
McAteer wasn't playing much football for Leicester.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, they're the little bits that you take out of it. I think other than that, there's nothing to be drawn out.
So what are the positives? They look fairly stable. Although Luxembourg, they get in at times. About half the team, maybe half the team picks itself at this stage in a positive way. Mostly the defensive side. There are options at the back for sure. The negatives, centre mid is a massive worry. It's a huge concern and it doesn't seem to be improving. That's why everyone was so excited by the little cameo from John Patrick, who had some tidy touches, particularly that one at the edge of the back.
Like, we tend to get overexcited about a few times.
We hold on to it because we're unbelievable at producing like right backs and centre halves. So if anyone can play a bit of ball, we get tremendously excited. But look, it's unbeaten in four now. Unbeaten, is it this year? Hamer Algrimson in 2025 since the England defeat at Wembley?
Yeah.
I admired his honesty afterwards. He didn't hide from the fact that it was terrible.
Did you see when Sam McCartan
I'm glad you looked that right. I gave you the option. But look,
the jersey. You were into the jersey last
night. I was going to save it for Nathan, but if you want to talk about it now, yeah. I thought the Luxembourg jersey and it was, nice. Was beautiful. Yeah,
you don't see that sort of like a little couple of splashes of colour. Like.
Nathan will notice like about my love of jerseys, and I hope you do too. I don't think you see navy. Well, I thought they were red. Point, yeah. I thought those boys were red.
Remember we had that royal blue jersey a few years ago?
Yeah. Oh, Arthur has that.
Have you that? Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah. Should wear it.
Limited edition.
You should wear it. But you're only itching to get to the analysis that wasn't on TV. Where was the punditry? Where was the commentary? Where was the colour?
I'll be perfectly honest with you. Like, I wouldn't have watched that if it was on. So I'd be a bit hypocritical to say.
You texted me during the game.
No. I watched the match, but I wouldn't watch the pun. I wouldn't have watched that either way.
However, you would have liked it there.
There was no part. I find it interesting. I'm not really. I just, you know, I'm not gagging for. Oh, what does Stephen Kelly think of this? But like, in terms of, it was weird. It was really weird. It was like you're watching Serie A on TNT or whatever. And you're like, you know, it's not going to happen. Even for the Napoli game, I was like, I wonder, will they put someone on in studio back in forever? Mm. It's like, no, just stick with the commentator and Don Hutchinson. That's it. That's all you get. But what do you think about it?
My instinct reaction was they don't care anymore. I have to admit.
It's a good point.
I was like, they've lost interest in this.
Who?
RT. They've done. The passion's gone and I had been thinking of it for a couple of years anyway. And they want to get in and they want to get out. That's the feeling I get from it. And then I sat on that feeling and I was like, okay, look, budgetary things. It's like end of season, away to Luxembourg. It's a friendly. It must cost a fortune to put these games on. And I'd say it was a brutal financial decision. It was like, I'll just leave it.
But it can't cost that much to put it on. Like, it's not like they have to fly them out there.
It's just the studio. They'd be doing it in Dublin.
No, I would have thought... I was expecting that they would actually have. Yeah, they sent Tony, and therefore, sure, if you're sending Tony, then I would say, well, you're going to send a crew. And then I thought, well, like, we have Tony out there. We'll let the two lads do it at half time. Don't mind the build up. So no one's interested in the build up anyway. And in fairness, they got post match interviews with the manager and a couple of players. So they got the job done. But it's, you know, it harks back to the glory days of 20 years ago. And I was listening to the news round last night and I thought Mick made, I don't know if you heard it, did you? Mm.
Yeah.
I thought that was a very good point. Like, is that
the Simpsons?
Yeah. Well, Owen's point was probably speaking on behalf of the nation, which is like, well, why would you want 45 minutes build up for a friendly away to Luxembourg? What Mick's retort was back in the day with Dunphy, Giles, Brady and Billow, it wouldn't have been the match, but it would have had 45 minutes to talk about the story of the day or where Irish football is going or something like that. And by 25 past 7, you would have been engrossed and forgetting that there's a game happening in 20 minutes.
Well, I wonder what the numbers comparative would be between The Simpsons and 45 minutes of build-up for Luxembourg.
Maybe the crunch numbers, or maybe it's just...
What do you think?
The schedule set in place. I think the schedule set in place. And
no, but what do you... if they sat down and went, you know, what's our numbers for our investment here? What sort of numbers are we getting on... pre-match build-up here versus putting The Simpsons on?
Well, sorry, I don't know who's watching The Simpsons these days, because that's the new series and they're brutal.
Well, you know my point.
It's reflective of things. I don't know what your point is with that. Like, if it's a case of you saying like that, it probably wouldn't have done well.
I actually don't know. My instinct is that it would have done an awful lot better than The Simpsons.
Yeah.
And to be absolutely
Season
honest about it, like I, it does leave me feeling a bit cold. I'm not actually, of all the games to have ever happened, this was the game to not put studio around it. My worry would be that this will be the start of some kind of a trend, or that this is, you know, an insight into a mindset, let's say, because, you know, listen, it leaves you feeling a bit cold. I hate that the commentator and the analyst having to do punditry around halftime and full-time. It leaves me feeling awfully cold. It's absolute stick and plaster stuff, as good as the lads are. My point would be that I hope it's not a bit of a view into the future about how these things are going to tackle. Because I think, like, as producers of shows and all that sort of stuff as we do here, like, you'd like to think you could come up with an interesting 45 minutes, regardless of the context or the opposition.
Firstly, I think it probably, I don't think they'd get away with doing that for a competitive game.
They would have done it. They play so few
friendlies that it probably won't be an actual, it might happen again, but it could be 2 years from now. Like, I don't know when we actually have our next friendly. Probably not for a long time. Mm. But it's not, I don't even think it's an insight. I think it's overt that they couldn't care less about football. This isn't a judgment, because I don't know what way it works with the financials of it, but you can even see it in the way the Champions League coverage has dwindled. Look, where we had one of the semi-final legs this year wasn't even shown. And I'm not saying, I don't know the ins and outs.
That they had the rights and didn't show.
No, I don't know what the ins and outs of it are. It's changed, but it still is a case of, you can see it's reflective in everything and how they approach it.
But their access appears to be dwindling every season.
Yeah, no, that's a totally different story, competitive market, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know that, I hope it's not an insight into their lack of desire to.
They'll let the League of Ireland go, you know, had no real impetus to doing that. There's no real impetus behind it.
Yeah.
I just say also, like, for the sake of balance, and it is needed, is like, there's obviously people who work at RT Sport who are unbelievably passionate about this thing. And like, when they put it on, there's obviously a great deal of effort goes in. Because if you're listening to this from the RT perspective, you're like, we're trying our best here. I'm more talking about the decision makers at the top. Like,
yeah, but
I'm more thinking about,
even within the sports department, I'm assuming that there's a desire to show sport. Do you know what I mean? Like from the sports department, let's say. Do you know what I mean?
Look, last weekend, like, you know, we thought about a legendary weekend. It's an incredibly busy year of sport. And in fairness, RT showed loads of stuff from a range of sports. So, like,
I didn't like the fact that there was no studio last night.
Oh no, I thought it was shocking. Like it.
Of all the times for it to ever have happened, last night, pre, you could make an argument for it, and post, they must have been saying to themselves, "Great call."
But they would have known that this would have been the reaction. That was the reaction last night. This is the reaction this morning.
It's almost testing it out, but you got to like go. It's a bit of a red herring. Like, it's not like the panel. As again, I'm not slagging anything off, but like, by its own relative standards, Their coverage of football like that, of men's football like that, it's poor.
It's not good. What do you mean? Are you talking about the?
I'm talking about how they do it. Like it's not good.
But what aspect of it?
I think every aspect in terms of like you're not like how they tend to approach games, how in comparison to their own thing, and you don't want to get into a thing of name and names because it's kind of cruel.
You're not mad about their,
but I don't think the way they do it is, it's just kind of. It's a polite way to say it's incredibly inoffensive, or it poses no real challenge to anything.
Mm.
And I just think in terms of like, again, you're only going off the standard of what was there. It's not like some imagined ideal of what it was. Like they had a perfect, they had a perfect setup for years and it dwindled away, and they just seemed determined not to kind of, revive that with new people, which I think would be possible.
But I suppose the interest from their point of view is the rugby, which I believe they're losing the URC. Isn't that going to Premier and the GAA, particularly this time of year? So I'd say football is an afterthought. There's a fair bit of interest in this in the comments as well. Alan there, who's a subscriber, said I'd say they wondered whether to televise it at all, meaning this friendly, maybe this was a compromise. PWAS 74 or to spend their sport budget on rugby and everything else is a cut back. Look, obviously, like what the commentators are saying and what we're saying is stuff that we know on the surface level, and clearly there was a conscious decision made by RT, and I presume it was a financial one, that we're not privy to the details.
They could be like, listen, we can spend this 100 grand, I don't know how much it is, we can spend this 100 grand on something else. Like, we should genuinely get somebody from RT on to talk about it.
It can't cost that much to set up a studio in Dublin.
What's the difference between DIY and doing it yourself? It's the difference between a part-time passion and a full-time business. Wix gives you the power to turn your passion into a moneymaker. With a website that fits your unique vision, let your ideas flow with AI that guides you, but keeps you in the driver's seat. Manage your business from one dashboard and keep it growing with built-in marketing features. It's time to turn your daydream into your dream job. Go to Wix.com.
The New Balance Furon V8. Crafted for speed, tested and worn by Bukayo Saka. Experience engineered minimalism at its finest and fastest. We updated the Furon V8 for even faster performance on the pitch. Same ultra-lightweight, precision strike-focused design. Now with even greater sense of speed, a new speed control stud supports control during sudden stops, sharp pivots, and moves used by the fastest players, like Saka himself. Step up your game in the new Furon V8. Learn more and get yours at newbalance.com/soccer.
Lights, camera, innovation. Walt Disney Studios chose advanced 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business to transform the movie-making process. Together, we kept a remote production hub in Hawaii in sync with a team in California to bring Lilo and Stitch to theaters this summer. This is picture-perfect collaboration. This is Walt Disney Studios with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Este Día del Padre, ayuda a papá a hacer todo lo que pueda con un regalo de The Home Depot, porque él no solo es papá, es el todólogo del hogar, es el plomero cuando se necesita y el mecánico de emergencia. Mejora su equipo con el juego de herramientas para mecánica Husky de 270 piezas con un valor de $695, ahora en compra especial por solo $119. Perfecto para un profesional, o sea, papá. Encuentra el regalo perfecto del Día del Padre en The Home Depot. Haces más. Logras más.
There'd be a lot of. I don't know that it'd be that much. Obviously, your pundits are demanding top dollar. I can't imagine you'd have a huge amount of change out of 100k, but I don't know what the exact number is. Should get somebody on, genuine.
Yeah, no, it's a good shout. Will I get back to the reaction to the match itself here on YouTube? C Fox saying it doesn't matter if it was a friendly, give your all for at least 90 minutes for the last 90 minutes of the season. Worrying that we couldn't hold our shape, our three-man midfield got overrun and Ferguson looked tired, even with no games. Then Mick Maloney there, having a bit of a cut here, interesting. The narrative of it doesn't matter is ridiculous. When, if we had had a convincing win, I presume the three of us, would have been saying that this is a great way to be going into the games in September. I'm not sure.
We would. Jesus Christ. Sure, of course. You know.
I think Mick's point is saying, like, because they didn't work out that we're disregarding it, but I'm not. I'm just asking what
I'm disregarding it entirely.
It's 3 months away.
Everybody also knows that, like, they were scraping around for opposition here. Do you know what I mean?
They actually said that like they were looking around and it didn't work out, and this is what we
had. Exactly. And so
I thought Luxembourg were decent.
But like, what are you going to do?
They created a lot of chances.
The window is there. You can get an opposition to play the game, or you can choose to not play any game. Of course, if you're Helgrimson, the FAI, you're going to look to play the game. I just don't think. We are never ever going to talk about the Luxembourg game again.
Yeah, but that doesn't take away from the fact that we were blatantly incapable of breaking them down. Like, that's not that we can't, like, it's not like that's an aberration. If you know what I mean, it's a continuation of a trend.
But I just think the context of the game means that it's not worth analysing. Like, if it was a competitive match where we had our full pick of
fair play, RD, so
it is absolutely worth analyzing.
I know you're saying that facetiously, but that would have been part of their thought process. Obviously, the meaninglessness of the whole thing.
Yeah,
my thing is not so much in relation to the game itself. Although, as I've said, I didn't really enjoy the fact that I don't like that sort of the commentator. I don't like to hear from the commentator and the. Summariser, as our friend John Duggan likes to call them, during halftime and full time. It just sounds a bit cheap.
I don't think they wanted to do it either.
No, of course.
They wanted a break.
But it's a meaningless fixture, and that's kind of That's it. Like, it's, we're never going to. The context of the game is nothing. Like, there's no conclusion to be drawn from it. If we'd won it, we'd have said there was a bit of positive momentum and that's continuing and that's sort of the size of it. And if we'd have been beaten, we'd have made some excuse about it and we'd all move on with life. Like, it's probably, it'll be up there with the most meaningless of fixtures the Republic of Ireland have ever played.
I disagree with that. It's not like we're...
What would be more meaningful?
But it's not like...
Meaningless.
But it's not... It was a game to be played. Like, it's not... I don't know. I think.
But you know what I'm saying?
I think your man, whoever was saying, is right. Like, if we'd won 3-0 last night, we would be saying, geez, things are looking up. This
of course
good.
We would.
But that's complete contradiction then of what you're saying. Just because they drew 0-0 and couldn't break Luxembourg down, we can't say it doesn't matter.
No, none of this is based on what happened on the pitch. It's just meaningless in that we didn't have a full selection. It's the last game of the season. Factors start to come into it around the quality of the opposition. Not that we're any great shakes ourselves, but there's just, we would say that's great bit of positivity. We won 3-0. You know, Evan Ferguson scored. Isn't that great? Like, that's what we'd say, of course. It doesn't make the fixture any more meaningful. Like, it doesn't mean that you'd go into September going, Jesus, brilliant, we've a million options
you
now.
You would. If we'd won 3-0 last night, you'd feel better about September than now.
I would definitely feel better about September.
So then it mattered.
My point is that will we play a more meaningless friendly than this? It'd be hard to make a case that you...
But if the result had gone right, it would have been less meaningless.
I'm almost a little bit lost here, but...
I don't get it.
Because it's end of season, it's Luxembourg, we don't have our full pick. Like, in the context that Ireland do play fixtures, right?
Yeah.
Will they ever get more meaningless than this?
Yeah.
It might take somewhere in the middle. The point I make about it's 3 months away to the next game, it was like, well, how could this possibly have an effect because it's so far away till they play again? So things would have changed inevitably for a number of those players by then, whether it's moving to a different club or they get an injury or whatever, something else happens. However, I do think the game was significant last night in that I think there was a disappointment by all of us watching it. I think a lot of us felt that they were further along on their journey than this. They should be better than this at this point. We're 9 months into the Hamer Halgrimsson reign and things are looking up a little bit.
Who Bulgarian comes into
performances,
that team?
Right? And I was looking at last night and I was thinking, Jesus, and I'd say a lot of people are thinking this. It's like, geez, we're still way off it. Like, we're still way off it. So the Bulgaria double header, we did the job. Senegal, it was the Senegal second team because we saw how good Senegal were last night. Their first team went to the City Ground and beat England 3-1 with Thomas Tuchel getting booed at the end of it. It's the first time England lost to an African side. The Senegal are quality.
Time talking about that.
Absolute quality. And we drew with their second string, essentially. But their second string is obviously still stronger than Luxembourg's strongest 11. And I think people are a bit disappointed about the fair last night. It was like, we should be better than this at this point.
Who comes
so
into
it?
So
it is significant in that sense.
Quevin Kelleher. The defence is probably roughly as it would be, maybe Liam Scales.
Listen, the defence is strong. Like, you have to make a decision, for example, between Matt Doherty and Jake O'Brien.
Yeah.
Strong defence. You're probably leaving out Liam Scales.
Yeah. Does Ryan Manning come into the mix?
Ryan Manning, like, about a year ago was seen as just another number for Ireland. And now he's suddenly important. He had a beautiful cross in
the
second half.
Well, it's a great game for... Which,
see the crossing he had the second half to Casey McAteer?
It's a great game for players who didn't play. Finn Azaz will be another one. Like, we are talking about maybe four or five players that will come into that team. I'm just saying there's a load of these little factors that go into the...
If that team, if that exact 11 took to the field in the first World Cup qualifier in September, you wouldn't say we're massively weakened here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It wasn't like, it wasn't our B team, Adrian. There was a couple of, Max O'Leary and Killian Phillips were the risks. Everyone else, I think, Casey Matthews was only the sixth cap in his second start. But essentially everybody else, fairly well versed in playing for Ireland. It was a strong enough side. I think people are disappointed that we're still, as Arthur pointed out there, we're largely incapable of breaking down sides. And one thing we haven't touched on too, which I think is important, Hamer Halgrimsson saying we need to be taking these games as seriously as the Senegal game. So we had the utmost of respect for a side who are ranked top 20 in the world. And then we play this minnow. That's how they're seen. They're 91st in the world. We're 60th. Mm. But we should be way better than them. And I'd say the players have that mentality. Match with the fact they're about to go on holidays, don't really want to be there. But I tell you, after 15 minutes, they must be thinking it's going to be a long, old night.
When have we been way better than anybody? Like, listen, there's plenty of people saying here...
It's not better than the opposition. It's us being better. It's Ireland being better at trying to do the things that we should be doing, like keeping the ball.
Environmental factors that I just
it's the environment.
Know, as in, it's the end of the season. It is an utterly meaningless fixture, and you can read into it all you want. And yes, I would have felt more positive clearly if they'd been if they'd won the thing, obviously. But you're not going to spend a whole pile thinking about this, or it's not going to factor into anything come September.
No,
if we do a preview of the September games, which we'll do plenty of, are you going to make any reference to the Luxembourg game?
We'll reference the summer friendlies because it'll be the most recent game.
But I think
at the same time, when we play Hungary, so September, so depending on how his summer goes, someone like Ferguson will have played probably no real football in the intervening period. Like, depending on what happens.
Yeah. Who the hell knows what's going to happen with him, though?
But, like, we'll see what happens. So, like, is it a case then when it comes to September, we go to Hungary, we get beaten, it's like, oh, sure, they've not played any football. Do you know, it's like, well, how are we going to get any rhythm going?
If
you can't show it last night, and given the fact that so many of our players are, I suppose, playing at a lower level or at a peripheral level at a higher club, if you can't make it work last night, I don't know when it's supposed to start working. Like, it's grand now. If we go to Hungary, a spirited draw, a 1-0 defeat, and then off to Yerevan after that, like, we realistically...
All of that is... Anything is possible in that window.
Anything's possible isn't just a plan. That's just a certain randomness.
No, not really. Like, I just think there's no point in reading anything into the game last night.
We probably have to go on those two away trips and probably come away with 4 points, minimum. Realistically, we can't probably afford to lose to Hungary in the grand scheme of things if we want to get through the group. Because given that we'll probably lose twice to Portugal, we probably have to get at least 4 points from those two games, win in Armenia and probably get a draw in thing. Is there anything over the last two games that you would say, oh, I can see where that's going to happen? That all of a sudden we turn into this team that can, in higher stakes,
that'd
can
be
break
me
down
reading
better
into
teams.
Games that I've already said are meaningless. Like, but I Casey just, McAteer is a bit of an option. Is there anything more to be said? Like, you know, I do feel that it's been a good window for players who haven't featured. And there's nothing to be drawn into Evan Ferguson's performances. He hasn't played football. Yes, he was a bit livelier the other night than he was last night. But I'm telling you, lads, if you think Heimir Hallgrímsson and his coaching staff are sitting down to pore over this and, you know, use it to inform team selection for the September and October games, I can't see it.
All right.
I don't feel as if we're at odds on that point.
Well, why would they not use it? Like, it's a sample size. It's not...
But the games are... They're friendlies. Like, it's... They're done and dusted. Everybody walks away.
He wanted them.
He did. And like we said, he had to scrape around to get an opposition for them. But like...
All right. We've laboured on this point, but there's loads of comments coming in here. And John Gagnon saying, this time Arthur is right. Donica Mack saying, stop digging Adrian for the love of all that is holy. But then Shipley Dal comes in and says, I'm team Adrian this morning. Carlino 888 sounds like a casino. You're in dreamland column if you really thought we were better than this. That's our level now. Gone are the days of the 90s and 2000s. I respectfully disagree. Like, if we have that competition at the back, which I was saying there, you know, Doherty or Jake O'Brien, like a really good player is being left out, right? We have goal scorers up front. One of them is going to be left out. So we have this depth in certain areas. And how have we not developed central midfielders? I just don't understand it. I'm not talking about the Roy Keane days, or John Giles, or Liam Brady, or Wes Hoolihan, or Andy Reid. I understand that the level has dropped since then. However, these lads that are playing centre mid are still playing at a decent level, and we can't, for the life of us, do two things. Hold on to it, and create chances regularly. We're still relying on crosses coming in from the box, which are effective, but you'd imagine that we're a bit better at this stage. So, I have higher expectations. I understand we're at a limit. We're not what we were, but we still, I think, should be better.
What are your higher expectations based on?
And I can't believe that if you look at, say, a fella playing for like Bristol City in the Championship, right, who's their captain, who got player of the year last year, I can't believe he can't be a guy who would dictate play all day long. Josh Cullen playing a very high level, again, upper Championship, lower Premier League experience, that can you hold on to the ball? Like, can you pass it between you? Can you create some chances? I'm not asking people to go mental here and say, what do you expect? Like,
who's
like,
the most recent example of the type of player you're talking about?
Like.
Who's the most recent Irish example of the type of player you're talking about? No, it's not a Roy Keane.
That have been able to do that. Yeah. That's the question, isn't it? So it's like we were always pining for Wes Hoolihan, and there was that performance he gave against Germany. But top of my head, that's the Shane Long goal. That's 2015. That's 10 years ago. In hindsight, Glenn Whedon was all right. Name me a centre mid who does two things, holds on to it and creates. I can't believe it. I can't believe we still can't create that. I was much more positive after Senegal. I thought we did quite well in that game. But I just thought last night...
It solved so much of our issues, wouldn't it, if we had somebody in there who was a bit of an engine.
I thought last night was a reminder of where we are, because Luxembourg, they were decent, but we should be better than them. We should be playing better football. Every time we attacked, Luxembourg hurt us afterwards. It was tit for tat. That's our level now. It's unacceptable to me, in my opinion, anyway. But I do remember the happier days of the Republic of Ireland. Right? I was thinking yesterday, I was at tomorrow's show. I'll start giving dates at the top of the show. I think people appreciate, I never know what date it is. It was the 11th of June. I think the 11th of June was one of our World Cup games. And I was right. I looked it up there. Saudi Arabia 0, the Republic of Ireland 3 on this day in 2002. And why was that significant? That was the only time that the Republic of Ireland have scored more than one goal in a World Cup match up to that point, and obviously subsequently, because we only had one World Cup game afterwards, which is the next round against Spain.
I watched that game in the Clare Inn.
My question here was, where was everyone for that game? The 11th of June 2002, Saudi Arabia 0, Ireland 3. Goal scorers, do you remember? Top of your head? I have them here for you anyway. If you're struggling, do you remember the goal scorers?
I know, yeah, I think so, yeah.
Robbie,
do you remember the type of goal?
I'd be struggling.
In fair, I want to give RT their flowers here. They do an unbelievable montage of that World Cup, 2002 World Cup, with Feeder Just a Day. Remember that Feeder Just a Day song? That Robbie Keane goal features in it. The Saudi keeper spilled two of the three goals. That was one of them. Do you remember the other two goals?
Yeah, Gary Breen,
great volley. Lovely volley from a Stan Cross.
Duff, I think.
Duffer.
Yeah.
Straight pass, and he did a nice little celebration. Where were you?
The Clare Inn Irish Bar on the Dominion Road in Auckland.
As we qualify for the knockout stages with that win, where were you?
What day was it? A week was it?
Great, I had that lined up. I'm almost certain that was midweek. I was on crutches.
I was still in primary school.
Oh Jesus, I was in a bar in Arthur. I was in primary school.
I have a vague recollection of watching at home.
A Tuesday.
Do I dare ask at what time of day?
Jesus, you're kidding me. What's this? Jesus. 1 o'clock.
I feel like I was at home.
You're just throwing that out.
Just throwing it out. I feel like I was at home, but I don't know. I might have been in school. I was in school for the Germany game, for sure. And the first game, I think, was a Saturday morning or something, wasn't it? The Cameroon game was definitely a weekend, I think. I remember waking up for it. So it was like 7 o'clock in the morning or something.
Watched all the matches upstairs in the Viscount, Dermot Keenan. But I used to be upstairs.
Following the whole events, obviously, that had preceded all of that on a weird timeline. So, it meant there was a load of activity happening my time at night. And so he'd wake up in the morning going, what happened? What? Bertie Ahern is... What? He's going to fly out? Are you joking me? So it was a weird kind of there was an awful lot happening. And you'd wake up to this, flood of information.
Yeah, I remember being on a school tour in Donegal. There was some report about Roy Keane potentially coming back.
Yeah. And it was on at one point.
And that was, I remember that getting great excitement. But super time.
Great times. We thought, this is the start of it.
Great.
Many World Cups to come.
The game was so bad last night, we wandered into talking about Saipan.
And of course, Off the Ball was only a month or two old.
I was only a baby.
A pup.
Wasn't it? A little baby. All right, well, what will we do now? We have a couple of clips last night. Nathan doing the rounds afterwards in Luxembourg. So he talked with Jack Taylor, rattled across Burnley. He also spoke with the Republic of Ireland captain, Nathan Collins, and got his opinion about the performance.
Well, Nathan, I think your manager was very stark in his assessment of the performance. Yeah. How did you assess it out on the pitch?
He was probably right. We probably weren't at our best. probably a bit passive. We weren't probably as aggressive in the press, which is frustrating because we know how good we can be when we're pressing. We can put teams under pressure.
Why was that, do you think?
It's hard to put a finger on, you know what I mean? It can be a lot of things, you know. Everyone could be tight. It's the last game of the season, you know, away. We put a lot into the Senegal game, and that's tough. But even though we probably weren't that, we were a little bit passive, we still, the way we defended in our shape, I thought was solid. You know, we still created them. We created them to force things. We still created some chances. We hit the bar twice. You know, that's unlucky, you know. And even if you don't play your best, we could have nicked the win there today.
Hamer spoke before the game of obviously big team, maybe lesser opposition, going to be similar to September. Is there something you can learn from that, even in the way you were pre-match, something you could spot that maybe everyone wasn't quite on it the way you were Friday night?
Potentially, but I'd like to think people know how hard it is in Europe, really. I think every team has unbelievable players. I think the standard of quality of players in this region is unbelievable, and any team can be any team on their day. So we know not to go into any games like without underestimating them, and we know to do better, and we know we have to put pressure on them earlier on and not be as passive as we are today.
Slight change at the back with Jake coming in. It does seem that, you know, there's a few different players that can step in, and it doesn't seem to alter things too much. Do you feel that level of comfort, whoever it is?
Yeah, of course, and it's a great thing to have right now. We have players pushing each other, you know, in positions. I think players that are into the squad are looking like that, and they know they need to do something to get back into the team or back into the squad. So it's a good thing to have as a whole and as a group, and we can push on to get better.
It's time to turn your daydream into your dream job. Wix gives you the power to turn your passion into a moneymaker with a website that fits your unique vision and drives you towards your goals. Let your ideas flow with AI tools that guide you, but give you full control and flexibility. Manage your business from one dashboard and keep it growing with built-in marketing features. Get everything you need to turn your part-time passion into a full-time business. Go to Wix.com.